Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us.
Israel's war on the Gaza Strip is in its 24th day. Israel is pounding the besieged territory from ground, sea, and air as fighting is underway between resistance groups and regime forces. Israel has hit areas around the Al-Quds Hospital, which shelters around 14,000 people. The Palestinian Red Crescent says that it has received serious threats to immediately evacuate the hospital. Israel said earlier that its ground troops are fighting inside of Gaza. In a statement, the Qassam Brigade said that Israeli forces are trying to enter from the east of Rafah. However, they were forced to draw back from the besieged territory. The military wing of Hamas also announced destroying two Israeli tanks in northern Gaza. Meanwhile, Palestinians living in the besieged territory are facing a dire humanitarian situation, but are refusing to leave their homes.
We will stay here whether Israeli forces come in by land or by airstrikes. Whatever happens, we will be steadfast. We will not make the same mistakes we made in 1948 when they displaced us from our homes. Until the last moment, we will remain here. This is our land and we will not leave. Any day now, we're going to go back and live upon the ruins of our homes.
We cannot handle anymore. Even mountains wouldn't bear what we're going through. We reached a state where we wish to have died under the rubble just to find some rest. Our life is torture. We wait in line for 3 hours to use the toilet.
This is what happened. This is not just shelling, but an earthquake. Honestly, it's like an earthquake. I do not know what to say. May God take revenge from them. But despite this destruction, pain, martyrs, injuries, we are a nation that does not kneel but to God.
Palestinians in Gaza are reportedly using seawater for survival. Gaza's health ministry has urged the international community to pressure Israel into halting attacks on health infrastructures. The ministry said that hospital operations were severely hampered by the presence of thousands of displaced people sheltering there. More than 8,300 Palestinians have so far been killed in Israel's relentless bombardment of Gaza that began on October 7. 70% of the casualties are women, children, and the elderly. The top prosecutor of the International Criminal Court has warned that hindering humanitarian aid to Gaza by Israel may amount to a crime under the court's jurisdiction. Karim Khan made the remarks as Palestinians in Gaza are grappling with the lack of food, water, fuel, and medicine due to Israel's complete blockade. Israeli officials claim that those basic needs have been coming in through the Rafah crossing, which is the Egyptian border with Gaza. But Khan says the regime must make discernible efforts to urgently ensure that civilians in Gaza receive food and medicine. Since 2021, the ICC has been investigating Israeli war crimes and crimes against humanity in the occupied Palestinian territories. Israel is not a member of the court. The regime has failed to cooperate with the investigation, rejecting the court's jurisdiction. In the West Bank, Israeli forces have killed 4 more Palestinians during raids on several areas of the occupied territory. 2 Palestinians were killed during an Israeli raid in Jenin. Earlier, a young Palestinian man succumbed to the wounds that he sustained by Israeli gunfire in the city of Nablus. He was shot in the Balata refugee camp. Elsewhere in the West Bank, 25-year-old Hossein Youssef Rabi was killed in the Daisha refugee camp in the city of Bethlehem. The latest fatalities raised to 117, the total number of Palestinians killed by Israeli troops in the West Bank since October the 7th. That is when the regime launched its war on the besieged Gaza Strip. Iran has called for the formation of an international legal committee to investigate Israeli war crimes in the Gaza Strip.
Israel has committed all 4 international crimes, that is, crime of aggression, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. And not just once, but on multiple occasions. Sometimes all 4 crimes have been committed simultaneously. So legal pursuit and legal international prosecution of war crimes is an international responsibility which must be especially shouldered by the UN.
Kanani said in his weekly presser that the specialized committee should consist of international lawyers and work under the Organization for Islamic Cooperation. The spokesman added that this committee should then submit its findings to international forums, including the International Court of Justice, to hold Israel and its supporters to account. He said the prosecution of the regime's crimes is the demand of many governments and nations. Pro-Palestinian rallies have been held across the world to demand an end to the Israeli bloodshed in the Gaza Strip.
We are demonstrating here in solidarity with our brothers in Palestine, especially in Gaza, and we are not rallying in support of violence. German police is accusing us of shouting out chants against Jewish people. However, we are demonstrating in solidarity with the Palestinian people in Gaza and with those women and children that are being killed there.
In the German capital, Berlin, protesters waved Palestinian flags and called for an immediate halt to Israeli atrocities against civilians in Gaza. In Canada, thousands flooded the streets of Toronto to demand an end to the Western funding of the Israeli regime. They also called for an end to the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Similar rallies were also held in other cities around the world, including Madrid, Beirut, and Islamabad. The demonstrators said Western governments are complicit in Israel's war crimes in the Gaza Strip. Pro-Palestine rallies have been held almost on a daily basis since Israel started its onslaught on Gaza. The demonstrations are being held despite bans on such protests in several European countries.
For the third Saturday in a row, pro-Palestine demonstrators packing the streets of central London to condemn the UK government's unequivocal support for Israel.
Our government is cheering this on and it's supporting Israel to carry on with the massacre in Gaza. So we want to try and stop that.
I'm so ashamed of our government that they are sanctioning what I think is just collective murder. And it really, really has got to stop. It's awful.
They should be listening to the protesters and demanding that there's an immediate and complete ceasefire, that humanitarian aid is allowed through.
From Madrid to Milan and beyond, even in Germany, home to one of the largest Muslim communities in the EU, where such protests have been restricted over what was described as anti-Semitism concerns.
Despite government attempts to delegitimize it, support for Palestinians is on the rise, with hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets of central London today to raise awareness of what's happening in Gaza and to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
Public pressure seems to be working. London's Labour mayor has become the latest politician to call for a ceasefire, breaking ranks with his party's leader, Keir Starmer, who said Israel reserved the right to cut all supplies to Gaza. 250 high-ranking lawyers have written an open letter to the government urging it to stop arming Israel.
And they are paying the taxes to kill our brothers, so it's unfair. It's completely unfair.
It should stop. We want ceasefire. We want talking, negotiating, but giving Palestine what it deserves, having been bullied for 50, 60, 70 years.
As the war on Gaza rages on, there is no sign of the emotions letting up or the demands that so many here are making for their leaders to find a political solution to the crisis. Saeed Porizza, London.
Thousands gathered in the Pakistani capital Islamabad for a massive rally in support of Palestine. All Islamic communities, including Shia and Sunni, came together to voice their strong condemnation of Israel's atrocities in Gaza. Pakistan's religio-political party Jamaat-e-Islami hosted Gaza Million March just a few miles away from the U.S. consulate in Islamabad to condemn Washington's role in supporting Israel's crimes.
Israel is brutally attacking the innocent people. Israel is brutally attacking with phosphorus bombs on the hospitals. And every day they kill 500, 600, even 1,000 children and kids and women and civilians. So there is no justification of such a genocide.
Similar rallies were held in other cities where people voiced their anger on what they call the criminal silence of the world on Israeli bombardment in Gaza that has killed thousands of men, women, and children in recent weeks.
Children have nothing to do with war or with hate. This is implantation of hate within children as well, which is...
Okay, let's turn to Mona Kandil, our correspondent who joins us from occupied Ramallah. Mona, what do you have for us?
Israeli police opened fire at a Palestinian near Salah al-Din Street in Al-Quds, and they claimed that this Palestinian knife and he stabbed Israeli soldier at a light rail in Al-Quds. Then Israeli forces chased him, they opened fire at him, and they said he was neutralized. Neutralized, it means that he had been shot and killed by the Israeli forces. Up till the moment, there is no confirmation from the Palestinian Ministry of Health whether this Palestinian had been shot and killed or he had been shot, wounded, and arrested by the Israeli police in Al-Quds. The Israeli police imposed a closure on all the roads leading to Al-Quds with no access to the streets surrounding the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the old town of Al-Quds, and the Israeli forces are stopping Palestinians. They're searching them and questioning them following this incident. We are also receiving that another shooting had taken place, it seems, as we are receiving now. A Palestinian was shot at the entrance to the town of Yatta, south Al-Khalil. The Palestinian, our sources there are saying that a Palestinian vehicle was driving at the entrance of Yatta, and there has been clashes at the entrance of Yatta in Al-Khalil. When the Israeli soldiers opened fire there, it seems that they shot and killed the 23-year-old, as we are receiving from the Ministry of Health immediately. Fuad Ismail Abu Sabha, 23-year-old, was shot and killed at the entrance to Yatta, south Al-Khalil. And this brings the number of Palestinians who had been killed by the Israeli soldiers and the settlers since the 7th of October to 121 Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli forces. Of course, we are speaking that these killings have taken place following an incursion to the city of Al-Khalil and the refugee camp of Al-Khalil earlier, where the Israeli forces have killed four Palestinians there in Jenin, at least two of them were Palestinian fighters.
Thank you very much for that, Mona Kandil. We do appreciate it. Of course, Mona Kandil from occupied Ramallah. Let's take a listen to a British physician or doctor who talked about the state and the conditions of the health facilities in the Gaza Strip.
I've had very limited contact this morning. As you correctly said, no contact at all for 24 hours. I've not had any contact from my friends at Chief Hospital, which is the main hospital in Gaza City, and we know that's been bombed, and I cannot contact anyone there. I've had contact with an obstetrician, or a colleague of mine's had a contact with an obstetrician, and I've spoken to non-medical friends outside the hospitals, where they describe an absolute horror. Mass indiscriminate bombings and killings. They have struggled to talk to any of their close family, so they don't know whether their friends and family are alive. And as I said, the contact with Shifa Hospital are non-existent at the moment. I mean, I'll address your first point initially. I mean, I've had multiple contacts over the last 3 weeks, nothing for the last 24 hours. This idea that the bombings are all highly targeted and not aiming at civilians, I think is utterly wrong. I've heard from people I've known for many years and trust implicitly the bombings are, there are huge residential areas being bombed, huge mass killings of innocent civilians. So I don't think anyone who is talking to people on the ground there will accept these are highly targeted bombings. The second point you raise, again, we've had limited contact for the last 24 hours, but prior to that, our contacts in Shifa Hospital and other hospitals are working 24 hours a day trying to save lives. not having any contact with their loved ones, their families, their close friends, and genuinely not knowing whether their families are alive or dead. As I said, I've been trying to contact for the last few hours close friends of mine, and they're not even reading the messages. So I have no idea whether these people are alive or dead. And to know that those people are working under these conditions, and for all they know, their close family may have been killed in the preceding hours, is unfathomable, I'm afraid. It's hugely needed, and it's needed immediately. And of course, all aid is welcomed. I mean, there has to be aid coming in. But the amount of aid that's gone in so far is really a drop in the ocean. To put it in context, about 500 lorries go into Gaza in quiet times every day, taking fuel, food, medicines, other necessary resources. I think they've allowed in, is it 35 trucks so far over the last week? And although that is welcome, it'll have, okay, well, when one considers 500 trucks a day in quiet times, all their resources have been completely depleted in the last 3 weeks. So they need a massive increase in aid to make any difference.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with President Raisi and his cabinet on August 30, 2023, on the occasion of Government Week. This week is adorned with the names of the two Nobel martyrs, Martyr Rajai and Martyr Bahonar. Their goal is seeking Allah's satisfaction and serving the people, which also brings God's satisfaction. Almighty Allah wants us to serve the people. So this is important. The code words for all our administrations should be seeking Allah's satisfaction and working to serve the people. Our goal should be summed up in these two things. If God's satisfaction becomes our goal, it will affect all of our activities, actions, and way of working. When you are at home thinking about the work that has been assigned to you, or you have a heavy workload from the ministry and you have no choice but to take it home and work on it at home, no one realizes this. No one praises you for it, and no one knows about it, but you do it anyway. Why? You do it seeking Allah's satisfaction. This is the right things to do. This affects our work. This affects the appointments we make.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
There is a sentence in Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah regarding God's satisfaction by Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, who asks Almighty Allah, Bless me that I may prefer your satisfaction over everything else, both in the case of friends and enemies. If a person is like this, then my enemy will be safe from any wrongdoing and injustice from me, and my friend will despair of me being inclined to falsely favor him and from misplaced kindness from me. This is mentioned in the supplication number 22 of Sa'ifatu Sajjadiyya. This is very important. If my goal is God's satisfaction, my enemy will know with certainty that I will not oppress him. He is my enemy, but he is sure that I will not act unjustly towards him. My friend will also be certain that I will not favor him over others because of our friendship. We will be like this in the appointments we make. If we keep God's satisfaction in mind, we will be careful to employ the person who is suitable for the position, not someone who is merely our friend and not deserving of the role. This is one of the characteristics of seeking God's satisfaction.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Since October the 7th, Israel has launched a relentless bombing campaign against the people of Gaza. The bombardments have claimed the lives of thousands of innocent Palestinians, most of them women and children. Israel's genocidal war on the people of Palestine has sparked mass rallies across the world. Journalists, activists, and even athletes have joined the growing calls to put an end to the carnage. But most of these voices are being suppressed due to the pressure by Israel and Zionist lobbies. Reports have been circulating at an alarming pace about activists being sacked from their positions, journalists being relieved of their duties, and even athletes being stripped of their contracts. The editor-in-chief of an academic journal said that he was fired from his job after sharing an article about people dying in Gaza. Michael Eisen, a geneticist at the University of California, Berkeley, and the editor of the scientific journal eLife, tweeted to say that he had been informed that he is being replaced as the publication's editor. Egyptian TikToker Karim Kabani said he had been sacked from his job in France because he made three videos on TikTok in support of the people of Palestine. Jackson Frank, who was recently appointed as the Sixers beat writer for Philly Voice, was relieved of his duties after sending out a tweet in solidarity with the people of Palestine. Frank, a vocal supporter of Palestine, in one of his tweets days after his unceremonious sacking, termed the Israeli atrocities against the people in Gaza as, quote, genocide. In the Canadian city of Ontario, the New Democratic Party, NDP, expelled MPP Sarah Jama from the caucus earlier this week for her statements in support of Palestinians.
Governments and institutions in Canada are trying to use their voice to wait to silence us, to silence workers, students, educators, and peace-loving people who dare to support Palestine. And to every person who's taking a risk to speak up for Palestinian dignity and safety, I see you and I hear you and I am with you. They try hard to silence us, but we know that our words are powerful and we must continue to speak up no matter the cost.
In a series of tweets, Sarah Jama called for an immediate ceasefire and de-escalation. Mahad Akil, one of the top agents in Hollywood, also had to call it quits from her role at the Creative Artists Agency, CAA, after she posted in support of Palestine. And Tanya Singh, a unionist from Minneapolis, said she had been terminated from her job in a union for anti-Semitism over her support for Palestine.
Governments across the world, in an attempt to address anti-Semitism and somehow redress the horrors of the Holocaust, are allowing Israel to get away with apartheid, ethnic cleansing, detention of children, torture, restriction of movement and other freedoms, and the illegal occupation of land. After every genocide, the world cries out, "Never again!" And yet here you see another attempted genocide unfold right in front of your eyes, and you don't just watch on quietly, but actively supporting the oppressor.
Meanwhile, the crisis in Gaza has unveiled Western double standards regarding the issue of Palestinians and their cause. Western nations have tried their best to silence pro-Palestine voices. Germany, for example, has in recent weeks moved hysterically to ban pro-Palestine demonstrations altogether, smearing them as quote-unquote anti-Semitic gatherings. Berlin has violently cracked down on Palestinian activists. French Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin has declared an outright ban on all Palestine-related protests. In addition, those standing in solidarity with the Palestinian cause are also reportedly being stopped, questioned and fined. In the UK, the Rishi Sunak government has come out openly in support of the Israeli regime's genocidal campaign in the besieged Gaza Strip. Home Secretary Suella Braverman insisted that waving the Palestinian flag could amount to inciting racism or violence. At the same time, Prime Minister Sunak demanded all state buildings should display the Israeli flag. The response by the European officials to the massacre in the Gaza Strip and the subsequent intensifications of the siege and the indiscriminate bombing of civilians by Tel Aviv has laid bare the hypocrisy of the European leaders and their blatant bias towards Israel.
We know for sure that we represent the views of the majority of people in Ireland. We represent the views of our Parliament, and we genuinely believe that we represent the views of the majority of European citizens who have taken to the streets in their tens and hundreds of thousands over the past number of days, appalled by the stance of the EU so-called leaders who have been complicit in genocide and ethnic cleansing by allowing Israel to behave as it does.
Just days ago, more than 800 EU officials wrote a letter to the bloc's chief, Ursula von der Leyen, criticizing her uncontrolled support of Israel. The signatories of the letter said there is a seeming indifference demonstrated over the past few days by our institution towards the ongoing massacre of civilians in the Gaza Strip in disregard for human rights and international humanitarian law. The letter represents deep division within the bloc on how to approach the Israel-Gaza war.
The war in Gaza is in its third week, and Israel has been hinting at a ground operation for several days. Israeli forces, backed by heavy deployment of U.S. warships in the region, have taken positions close to the besieged Strip's frontiers, while at the same time warplanes continue to indiscriminately pound Gaza. The regime, however, keeps delaying the ground invasion, citing the need to enhance the readiness of its forces and the issue of the captives. However, informed sources have told Press TV that Israeli forces have actually tried a ground offensive, and that twice. The first try happened on Sunday afternoon, as an Israeli brigade was ambushed by Palestinian resistance forces when trying to enter Gaza's Rafah border. Two bulldozers and a tank belonging to the regime were hit, and some 10 tanks were left as the Israeli soldiers fled for their lives. The second failed ground invasion, Press TV source said, happened hours later on Sunday night. This time, more than 20 Israeli tanks were repelled on the way to Khan Yunis. The regime's military later reported that one soldier was killed and three were injured by an anti-tank missile shot by Hamas during a raid into the Gaza Strip. The Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, announced later on its Telegram account that it had pushed Israeli forces back into the occupied territories. The next day, Tel Aviv announced that it had decided to delay the ground war in Gaza, pending the arrival of additional American forces in the region. Meanwhile, Hamas and other Palestinian resistance factions have expressed full readiness for any battle on the ground, warning that Gaza will turn into a graveyard for invaders in the event of a ground offensive.
I think this is part of their plan. We are expecting this to happen. But what we hear from the people, I mean from the military wing, that we believe that if they try to enter Gaza again, it will be the, what we call it, the Maqbara, they will be not only defeated, but they will be buried here in Gaza Strip.
Following the October 7 surprise operation by Hamas, the delusion of Israel's invincible military and intelligence power was shattered. The Al-Aqsa flood operation demonstrated that Hamas and other resistance groups are totally capable of performing offensive operations. On the other hand, resistance movements across the region have warned that in the event of U.S. intervention, all American outposts in West Asia will turn into legitimate targets. The question remains whether Washington is ready to take this dangerous risk or not.
They have tried to suppress the voice of the Palestinians. Common catchphrases, all-out support for Israel, unwavering support, and the likes. But finally, the world is not buying it. No amount of media coverage can cover up the Israeli crimes, including America's all-out support.
And we stand with the Palestinians, and we stand with Arabs. And they try and change the narrative because you own the narrative, see? This is our problem. You own the narrative. You own the United Nations. You own Hollywood. You own all these mouthpieces. Where are our voices? Our voices need to be heard as well. We've been watching your channel. And instead of mourning our dead, instead of mourning these Palestinian children, we've been having to deal with more dehumanization of Arabs.
And the proof that the tide is turning are in the worldwide protest.
Here just to show the support for our people in Gaza.
What we're experiencing today, it's happening in Palestine, is a genocide.
I'm here because I'm a Jew born in Jerusalem, and I'm horrified and enraged that my government here in the U.S. is sending weapons and money and never-ending, unconditional diplomatic support for Israel.
The world rallying behind Palestinians and Palestine. And it's not because Israel is murdering Palestinians, mostly women and children. Just think about it. How can this war bring out so many people from all corners of the world in such high numbers? It's because the world has been educated. It's informed now. It has witnessed four wars before. And it has seen the daily oppression and killing of Palestinians under an apartheid regime. Now U.S. politicians are speaking in a way that they haven't before.
Congresswoman representing the Massachusetts 7th Congressional District.
Where is your humanity?
How do you look at one atrocity and say this is wrong? But you watch as bodies pile up, as neighborhoods are leveled. Israel has dropped more bombs in the last 10 days than we dropped in a whole year in Afghanistan. Where is your humanity? Where is your outrage? Where is your care?
The passion in her voice from an American politician is for life and how it's being snuffed out, taken away with a missile, ones that are made in the USA. Since the war started, 45 cargo planes transported weapons from the U.S. to Israel. Among the military aid, around 1,000 tons of armaments, including 155-millimeter artillery shells, military vehicles, and supplies.
To President Biden and his administration, generations will not forget, and history will be recorded, that it was your administration, your billions of dollars, your support with weapons of mass destruction.
A veteran U.S. State Department official quit over what he described as the Biden administration's intellectual bankruptcy, in which he said Biden is rushing to provide arms to Israel, which is short-sighted, destructive, unjust, and contradictory to the very values that we publicly espouse. A CBS poll asked whether the U.S. should send weapons to Israel. More than half the respondents said that it should not. That is another first. And while we are on first-time occurrences, this is a first, which occurred at the Human Rights Council session in Geneva. The council members turned their back to the American ambassador's speech in Geneva. This happened during her speech preaching about human rights, while America's all-out support and bombs were killing Palestinians as she was speaking. The true face of the Israeli regime and the U.S. backing has rocked the U.S. status quo when it comes to Israel. Widespread attempts to suppress pro-Palestinian voices have reached unprecedented levels in the U.S. The cancellation of major conferences, demands for the dismissal of workers who express support for Palestinians, and intimidation campaigns against Arab American voices critical of Israeli policies are just some examples. This has even affected U.S. lawmakers, like Senator Elizabeth Warren, once a U.S. presidential candidate, in which more than 260 of her staffers signed an open letter demanding that she call for an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, describing Israel as increasingly fascist, that commits war crimes and enforces a brutal apartheid, calling for an immediate ceasefire. But only certain U.S. lawmakers have the guts to openly support Palestine.
You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos and the people telling the kids don't cry and like let them cry. And they're shaking, and some of you know this, they keep telling them not to cry in Arabic. They can cry, I can cry, we all can cry. If we're not crying, something is wrong. And so I'm telling you right now, President Biden, not all America's with you on this one.
Previous Israeli crimes are no secret. Kana, 1996. Israel bombed a UN shelter, killing 106 civilians, mostly kids. Israel was never held accountable. Lebanon, 1982. The Sabra and Shatila massacre resulted in the killings of between 2,000 and 3,500 Palestinian refugees and Lebanese civilians in 2 days in the city of Beirut. Previous massacres of Palestinians by Israel have been etched in people's minds, especially the wars on the Gaza Strip, which is why the BDS movement, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction, requires a reboot, one to include Israeli officials, including the pilots who dropped the bombs, on the Palestinians. After all, now is the time that sanctioning Israeli products could prove successful, since Israel's economy is tanking due to the war. We mentioned a couple of first-time incidents before. Here's another.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Thousands of Muslims praying in front of the U.S. Congress to demand a ceasefire in Gaza. A scene that creates a sense of deja vu for but this is reminiscent of how Palestinians have prayed in front of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in their future capital.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
Film Faith as Ulum Sharifi Islamis.
Faith or Jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
among the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, we're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. Stay tuned. In a beautiful hadith, we read, giving charity breaks the back of the Satan. Also, it is believed that giving charity keeps away the effects of calamities and afflictions. There are many people who pay large amounts of money for insurance or tax or dues. However, they are not ready to give away for the sake of Allah. Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salam, the seventh Shia infallible Imam, stated, if a person does not spend his wealth or property in the way of Allah, one day he will spend them on the false ways or the wrong outlets. Thus, spending in the way of Allah has positive effects in life and it will be back multiplied later.
امیر المومنین علیه السلام تعبیر خیلی زیبایی در نامه 31 نهج البلاغه به
امام علی علیه السلام in letter number 31 of نهج البلاغه states, the person who gives charity is like the one who gives his heavy loads of these to others to be carried out, and he will enter the hereafter with a light load when others are carrying his or her heavy loads. This shows the significance of giving charity. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Farhasat. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Palestine Declassified.
Hello, I'm Chris Williamson, and this is Palestine Declassified, where we investigate the Israeli regime's global war against solidarity with the illegally occupied people of Palestine. The disconnect between political leaders and the general public in the collective West could not be starker when it comes to support for the Palestinian people. Despite Israel's war crimes unfolding before our very eyes, politicians in the UK, United States and Europe have continued to offer moral and practical support to the Zionist entity. These politicians have even tried to suppress solidarity with Gaza at a time when Israel is engaged in a genocide. We'll be discussing these developments after this report by Latifa Abu Chakra.
The cowardly Israeli army only hits from the sky because the jailer cannot face its prisoner. And Gaza still stands. Gaza has been constructed and deconstructed by Israel over the years as a laboratory of frictionless occupation, meaning people are hunted by Israeli-controlled machines that determine their right to life. Israel cuts off the water, fuel, and electricity from Gaza as a form of collective punishment condemned by the Geneva Conventions. Do you see this clarity, O wounded nation of ours? This is why we must resist. While Joe Biden and others launder the lies of the occupier and seek to beautify the image of murderers, Gaza still stands. Gaza has taught us all humanity. The lines have never been clearer. Gaza will write its name in blood, not tears. When the chance came at the United Nations to call for a ceasefire, as suggested by Russia, only four nations voted against it, effectively blocking the motions. Those nations were the United States, Britain, France and Japan. The day after that motion was voted against, Israel bombed the Baptist hospital in Gaza, killing up to 1,000 people. Many were displaced and sheltering there. Many others were patients and many were children. Israel had bombed the hospital 4 days earlier, injuring doctors who were struggling to save lives. The following three consecutive days, Israel warned the hospital that it must evacuate because Israel would bomb it. In the aftermath, Israeli digital spokesman Hananiah Naftali was jubilant about the strike. However, he quickly withdrew back the tweet, and Israel pushed its propaganda infrastructure with the notion that the bomb had not come from the Israeli air forces. Lies upon lies ensued, all aimed at weakening people's support for Palestinian resistance forces. Sleep not, Israel. The world has seen your face.
As always, we're joined by our resident expert, David Miller. David's an academic and a former professor at Bristol University, and is now a non-resident senior research fellow at the Centre for Islam and Global Affairs at Istanbul Zeyim University. He's also a co-director of the lobbying watchdog Spinwatch, and he's a leading British scholarly critic of Israel. And I'm pleased to welcome back Richard Medhurst once again as our guest today, and he joins us via Skype. Richard is an independent investigative journalist focusing on US politics, international relations, the Middle East, and Julian Assange's fight against extradition to the United States for exposing US war crimes in Iraq. Richard's built up a large following on his YouTube channel, and his work has also been published on numerous international news outlets, including the Black Agenda Report, Press TV, Al Mayadeen, and The Canary. Welcome to the show. David, Israel's bombed hospitals, schools, mosques, a church, residential buildings. I mean, what does this say about Israel's strategy here?
Well, we can see straight away, can't we, that this is not what Israel says it's doing. It says it's trying to defeat Hamas. And, of course, what it's trying to do is to bomb Gaza into the Stone Age and, indeed, to try and kill so many people that there's no viable population left there and to force the rest of them out into Sinai. They want them to leave into Sinai so that they can reoccupy the Gaza Strip and never allow the Palestinians back in again. So this would be refugees who had been expelled into Gaza, and now they're trying to expel them again. So this is the objective. This is the second Nakba, the killing or expulsion of the Palestinians. It's nothing to do with attempting to target Hamas. Of course, they haven't done that yet because, one, they're frightened of doing it because they will lose so many soldiers, and two, because the Americans are not convinced that the IDF, the so-called IDF, is capable of launching a ground offensive. So that's what they're doing. They're deciding instead to take revenge on the ordinary people of Gaza.
Well, Richard, I wonder whether you might just say a word or two about Britain's role in this.
Well, yesterday there was a vote in the UN Security Council about whether, you know, they could come to an agreement, they could agree on a resolution to call on a ceasefire, just a simple ceasefire. And of course, you know, our representative at the UN in New York decided to support the US resolution while vetoing everything that the Russians had proposed. Now, there was no difference between the US text and the Russian text. The only tiny speck of difference was that the Russian text did not explicitly call for underscoring Israel's right to self-defense, which is, of course, a phrase that is always used to kind of, to silence the Palestinians' right to self-defense and uphold what Israel is doing in Palestine, which is, to call that self-defense, you know, bombing hospitals and churches and mosques is lunacy. So, you know, I find this really telling that usually Israel, of course, goes into Gaza and they bomb it, they kill thousands of people, and the world looks the other way. But usually in the other conflicts, we made the pretense of at least calling for a ceasefire. This time, we're not even bothering to do that. We're just, you know, publicly saying that, yeah, everything Israel is doing, its behavior is fine, and it should continue doing that. And at the same time, on the home front, so not just on the international stage, but on the home front, people in the UK are being propagandized like you would not believe. I mean, I was just watching Sky News now, and they were questioning the death figures, you know, like, so they obviously, they can't come on and justify killing 2,000 children, because that doesn't work to call them Hamas fighters, right? So they just start saying, well, the figures aren't correct because the Gaza Health Ministry is run by Hamas. Yes, well, Hamas are the government there, but Hamas cannot just fake numbers. So, you know, this is the level of propaganda that people in the UK are being subjected to. But it is good, and it is good to underscore the fact that hundreds of thousands of people are taking to the streets. Yeah. So it seems like the propaganda is not working. It might work, you know, with our ambassador at the UN in New York, but it's not going to work and stop people from coming out in their hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Well, David, I mean, what's the significance of the US Delta Force here? Because we know they were key, weren't they, in the assassination of Qasem Soleimani?
That's right, and they seem to be directly involved in Gaza. They seem to be involved in this alleged plan to flood the tunnels, the Hamas tunnels, with nerve agent, which is a truly extraordinary,
it is extraordinary
thing which they seem to be planning. But they were also involved in the incursion. There have been small incursions into Gaza by the Israeli Defense Forces, and Delta Force seem to have been involved in that. And there seems to be, in particular, an ambush by resistance fighters, and many of the soldiers who were involved, possibly the US Delta Force, were actually caught in that ambush, seriously wounded, and had to withdraw. So there's an indication here that the American soldiers are directly involved in confronting the resistance. Now, that isn't going to go well for them if it kicks off fully.
No, indeed. Well, Richard, I know that you've spoken out about Israel's targeting of Christians before, haven't you? But what do you think this latest episode in Gaza tells us about it?
Well, this term, Christian Zionist, always confused me. And as we know, in the United States, among evangelicals or some evangelicals, they've always used support for Israel as a means to whip up votes. Right, so this is a voter base that one must cater to if running for president or other houses and offices in the United States. So, the fact that Israel bombed the oldest church in Gaza. I mean, this thing has been there since the 5th century. It survived. It survived every crusade. It survived 1,600 years of various occupations and invasions. But it couldn't survive Israel. And these so-called Christian Zionists in America had nothing to say about it. They had nothing to say about Israel destroying this church, and not only the building, more importantly, killing worshippers that were inside. Some of those worshippers that were killed are actually related to someone who's in the U.S. Congress. I'm certain he cannot speak out because he'll probably lose his job. But I think this is so telling, and I'm still, I find this bewildering. What exactly is Christian, quote unquote, about anything that Israel does? I mean, they think that if they look at the Bible and they start reading the Old Testament, that they can find reasons to justify the Zionist state. These two things have nothing to do with each other, and if we look at the Ten Commandments, one of the most important ones is "Thou shalt not kill." I wish the Israelis and the Zionist Christians and the United States would actually apply that part instead of just cherry-picking the ones that they like.
Absolutely.
Nothing, everything that Israel does, Israel's behavior has nothing to do with Judaism, Islam, or Christianity, and all of these religions come from Palestine.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and Richard was just saying there, he found it bewildering, but, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has spoken out in support of Israel, hasn't he? And he's also a president, isn't he, of the Council for Christians and Jews. I mean, what do you know about that organisation?
Well, the Council for Christians and Jews is a Zionist organisation set up by a key Zionist ideologue, Sir Sigmund Sternberg, who died in 2016. And it's there to propagandise the Zionist message within Christian community, and indeed the Muslim community. They brought in a Muslim as one of the alleged co-founders, but it was run by Sternberg, and he also runs a number of other groups, including one we've talked about on this program before, the Forum for Discussion of Israel and Palestine, which during the last Gaza confrontation was sending people into schools to lie to school children about what was happening in Gaza and to pretend that there were both sides here, there was a conflict, this wasn't just an occupation and a colonial occupation at that. So this is a long-term Zionist lobby group. We should remember that the Zionists have been trying to infiltrate the whole range of groups in the society in order that when these things come around, there is no one to speak out for the people who are being oppressed.
No, indeed, as we've reported on this show on numerous occasions, haven't we? But we're just going to have to pause the discussion there for a moment, as we've got an expose now on Hananya Naftali, who's an influential Zionist social media influencer who also worked as a social media advisor to Benjamin Netanyahu.
Hananya Naftali was one of the first to claim the hospital bombing in Gaza for the occupation forces. On October 17, he posted on X that they struck a Hamas terrorist base inside a hospital. Shortly after, he deleted the post. "I mistakenly shared this information. I apologize for this error, as the IDF does not bomb hospitals." Hananya likes to mislead on his origins. Here he is on the 15th of October, falsely claiming to have been born and raised in Israel. He has been making this claim for years, such as here, back in 2014, where he claims to be a native-born Israeli Jew. In fact, he is the child of Russian settler colonists. Born in Safed, he grew up in what the Zionists call Samaria, an illegal settlement on Palestinian land, not in Israel. Naftali also likes to pretend he's a civilian, a social media influencer. He describes himself as a media